Good morning. Welcome in to the front porch here on this Tuesday. It is the fourth day of March, and we have Mike Humble and Tim O'Dell in with us this morning. And gentlemen, how are you doing?
Blessed.
Well, we're blessed by the best.
Blessed by the best.
Blessed by the best.
And who's the best?
The best is the King Jesus.
There you go.
I like there's none beside him.
King Jesus.
That's very true, Tim. None beside him. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother.
That's what it says.
And he's right there with you at all times.
You know, I was listening to you read the weather, and I was thinking, you know, there's always going to be winter and summer. That's what it said.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to always be that.
There's going to be
rain.
You
know, they always talk about it's changing, you know. I mean,
oh, yeah. Yeah.
We're losing climate change and all the—
Oh, yeah.
All the stuff they
That's
try to
not
sell
biblical.
Us. All the stuff they try to sell us.
Oh, yeah.
And so it's always going to be harvest, seed time and harvest, winter and
always,
summer.
Always going to be.
That's what the Word says. Yeah. I mean, if you believe the Word, and I believe the Word.
I believe the Word.
I believe the word. That's the way it's going to be.
So, but it's, people get so freaked out over this climate change stuff.
Oh, they do.
Well, it's fear.
And it's money.
It is.
And money.
It is.
Yeah.
You know,
you trace everything back to money somewhere.
Of course, I don't know what kind of weather you've been listening to. Of course, I know we give the weather, you know, every hour on the hour. I know at first they talked about some of these storms coming through this afternoon. Tonight could be kind of rough. Mm-hmm. Then I've heard say that some that says it's not going to be too bad. So what have y'all been seeing?
What I see, I don't know. It's going to be night, and it's going to be dark, and
it's going to be rain.
Light again tomorrow.
It's going to be light again tomorrow.
What difference make? You know what I mean?
Well, you know, some people get tore
up. I'm thankful, you know.
You know, some people get tore up about storms, you know.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And I'm thankful because I've been out in the storms. I mean, after the storms.
Oh, yeah.
Search and rescue and first responders and stuff. Up in eastern Kentucky, you know, the flooding recently.
Yeah.
I've been up there and those floods before. So, you know, it can do a lot of damage in there. And,
mm-hmm.
and there's wisdom in things.
Oh, you well,
know,
sure.
You don't stand out in the middle of a tornado. And
no.
Well, God's, in, God's in charge.
That's right,
but,
Tim.
But God's in charge. And most of us are unsheltered. You know, we have shelters. So.
That's Genesis 8:22 you were making reference
Genesis
to.
Genesis 8:22, there you go.
While the earth remains, seen time of harvest and cold and heat and summer and winter and day and night shall not cease.
There you go.
Shall not cease.
That's the word of God.
Shall not cease.
Mm-hmm.
So we can be safe in that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, where are we going at this morning?
We had been talking about Romans chapter 3.
Okay.
And we're going to start in verse 10. As it is written, there is none righteous, not even one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become useless. There is none who does good. There is not even one. Their throat is an open grave. With their tongues they keep deceiving.
Mm-hmm.
The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their paths. The path of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Mm-hmm. That's the description of humanity.
Yeah, very true, very true. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. So get your Bibles out and get ready. And that's where it's in, and once again,
Romans.
Third chapter. Romans chapter 3, beginning in verse 10.
Hello and welcome. I'm Ken Cummins, and here's today's word in 60 seconds. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 3:18, "But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord." In a discipleship training series called The Agape Road, author and speaker Bob Mumford talks about what he calls the white knuckle club. In other words, sometimes God will bring some area of our lives to our attention, and when we realize that we need to change, so we'll go to God and promise to do better, and we'll try harder. But what God wants for us to do is to bring that area of our lives to Him and allow Him to change us from the inside out. When I give it to God, I'm asking God to transform my heart. I'm Ken Cummins, and that's today's Word in 60 Seconds. And remember, the world needs King Jesus.
It has blessed me more than I can express. The encouragement it brings, it's like water. It's like oxygen for the soul.
100% listener-funded missionary radio.
And good morning once again. Welcome in to the front porch here on this Tuesday, the fourth day of March. And, of course, Mike Humble and Tim O'Dell. And, you know, as March gets started, I wonder how long March will last.
Well, it'll last till it's over.
Well, I mean, you know, I just thought I'd throw it out there. I mean, you know, February just went by so fast.
Yeah.
It'll hang around till April Fool's Day.
Yeah. Do you think so?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
To April showers will bring May flowers.
That's it.
It'll last the end.
But, yeah, you know, I've seen some pictures the other day. Some buttercups already trying to come up in some areas.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm sitting here going, really? You know, yeah. But anyway, that's, you know, I love the beauty of spring. I like it. I like when everything comes back to life.
Oh, yeah.
I love Easter. I don't love all the other stuff around Easter, but keeping
you don't like the bunnies running around.
I don't like the bunny part of it.
We don't even call it Easter. We call it Resurrection Sunday.
There you go.
Easter that takes its name from a mythological Greek or Roman god,
mm-hmm,
or goddess,
yeah,
that was about fertility.
Yeah.
That's not what we should celebrate in the church.
Mm-mm. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. But today, of course, we are in Romans chapter 3.
We are.
And so let's break down kind of what you talked about earlier. You want to read that scripture maybe one more time? That way people can follow along
There's none righteous.
None righteous. Okay.
No, not one. Not one.
Okay.
There's none who seeks after God. No, not one. Mm-hmm. That's totally contrary to the way we think.
Yeah.
That means, Brian, you're not always right. I'm going to ask your wife about it.
Well, you need to ask my wife because I'm right all the time. I'm just joking. Most of the time I'm wrong.
There you go.
You know, and everything. But, yeah, now I'm not right by no means.
There's
only been one that's been right, and that's Jesus Christ.
My wife accuses me of not trusting people.
Yeah.
And I said, you're absolutely right, except I trust people to be exactly what God says they are, sinners.
True.
For all have sinned, mm-hmm, and fall short of the glory of God. Not some have sinned. All have sinned.
All have sinned.
There are no exceptions to that.
Mm-hmm.
We are all inclined toward sinfulness.
That's right.
We all have an attitude of rebellion against the holy God. Whether, mm-hmm, we'll admit it or not, it's, mm-hmm, irrelevant. Yeah. Still true.
Yeah.
To greater or lesser degree, all of us are rebelling against our Creator.
Absolutely.
Because we want to be our own God. Mm-hmm. That's the bottom line.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We want to do our own thing our own way.
March to the beat of our own drummers, sing our own song,
mm-hmm,
be the one that designs our future. We claim to be empowered to determine our future, but we don't.
Yeah.
God alone determines tomorrow.
I can think back to a decision that I made back a few years ago. And I felt very uncomfortable with the decision that I made, but also didn't put Jesus in the first of that decision. So that decision caused me problems, you know. And when it started giving me the problems, which was an automobile issue, I didn't feel comfortable about it when I bought the vehicle. And I should have prayed more and really seek the Lord more, but I put self in front.
No.
And said, I really need this vehicle. I got to have a vehicle drive. So I bought it on the way home, check engine light come on, sit in the shop for about 6 months, transmission twice. And, you know, I sit there saying, Lord, I said, next time, I said, I promise you. I said, I'm going to seek you first. That way I know exactly what to do.
Yeah, we've all been there.
I don't know living.
Listen, just like this recently, we had to buy another vehicle just a few weeks ago. And I felt very comfortable with the car that they brought out for my wife. I felt very comfortable about it. We prayed about it. We went in. I said, Lord, I said, let us make the right decisions. I felt very comfortable with this vehicle that they picked out, and then they tried to pick one out for me, and I wasn't very I just didn't feel comfortable with it. And
I told peace in your spirit about
it. I told the salesperson, she said, oh, this is a wonderful car. Wonderful car. And I told her, I said, listen, I don't feel peace about it. I said, I let the Lord direct me in the way I need to go. She kind of looked at me kind of funny. I said, but me and him's not saying it to be right for me. And that was all said. You know, I just didn't feel right about it. So when you make him first in your life, first, let him make the decisions. Let him guide you in everything that you do. Things will be so much easier.
You mean he cares about a car?
Yes, he does. I believe he does.
Yeah.
He cares for everything.
Think about that.
Yeah.
Cares for everything.
There is no detail that's too small for his involvement.
That's it.
None whatsoever.
That's right.
That's why we can trust him to help us make right decisions, because without him we will make wrong decisions.
Absolutely.
For without me, Scripture says, you can do nothing.
Nothing.
But you know, how do we stop and make ourselves? You know, Bible says in him we live, we move, we have our being.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that has to do with providence.
Mm-hmm.
God's in charge of everything. So if in him we move, live, and have our being or exist, one translation says exist. In him we move, live, and move, and exist. Our very existence is reliant upon the God who made us and therefore who keeps us.
Mm-hmm.
Christ holds everything together. That means my life and Mike's life and your life.
Yes.
And my family's lives and the world that we live in, it all holds together by the hand of Christ.
Absolutely.
That's providential.
Absolutely.
We don't talk about providence much anymore. No. God's in charge.
He is.
If he's in charge, I can learn to rest in that. Then I can go back and look at Paul's context when he's talking about that issue. Who is he talking to? Do you remember?
Some people in the Bible.
Yeah, that's true. He was at Mars Hill.
Okay.
He was talking to the philosophers and the teachers of false religion in Athens.
Okay.
Greece, in the Greek Empire. And they were challenging him, and he was pointing back to Christ. That's all Paul did, point to Christ.
Sure, yeah.
So he says, even as your own prophets have said, or your own poets have said, the Greeks took their poetry seriously. Said, even as your own poets have said.
Yeah, that's what he said.
Then he goes back and says that in him, that is in Christ,
yes,
we move, live, and move, and have our being.
Yes.
In Christ we live. Scripture elsewhere says that our life is hidden in him.
I think we need to live by that as much as we can.
Absolutely.
You know, because, you know, we have to get our thoughts under control. You know, it's the mind that gets you so messed up. Yeah.
We have to remember our dependence.
We have to base it according to God's word. But you know, we don't always do that. You know, we think we're always right. You know, that's nature of man.
That's the nature of man, yeah. We think we're always right.
We think we're always right.
Yeah, and we're wrong more often than we're right.
That's true. Very much so. Very much so. I agree with that.
But no, we don't need, of course, if you start saying something to somebody about that's wrong, who are you to judge me? You ever hear that?
Oh, yeah.
I always respond the same way. I'm not judging you. God's word judges you.
Yeah, that's right.
It's God who makes the decisions, not me. Now, you can say, well, you're just being difficult. And I might agree that I am being difficult.
I'm being difficult.
The truth does not change even if it hair lips everybody in the room.
That's right. That's right.
The truth is God's word. I need to stand on it, and I need to keep it contextual. I got to be careful.
Yeah.
I can pull it out of context and make it say whatever I want it to do.
True.
Enemies of the cross do that every day.
Absolutely.
Hiding under all manner of religion.
Yes.
I told Mike on the way over, I've been reading a book called The History of the Puritans, and I don't remember the exact title, but it's starting in the 1500s and finishing in the late 1600s. And it's a little short, abridged version.
Yeah, sure.
Little 680-page history.
Yeah.
But if you look at that,
yeah,
you realize that all the battles that we're fighting today have been fought before.
Mm-hmm.
I believe I read somewhere there's nothing new under the sun. Is that true?
Nothing new under the sun.
So if you read that, you kind of get a picture of what our forefathers fought through
mm-hmm.
in order to defend the faith,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
in order to stand up for God's word, in mm-hmm. order to stand for truth. And many of them paid for it with their lives.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Well, you That's know, right. going back to this Romans third chapter, there's none righteous, no,
not one.
One.
That's right.
There's none that understandeth, it says.
Mm-hmm. Right. Not mm-hmm. one.
There is none that seeketh after God.
Not one.
Not one.
That's right.
You know, we got a lot to overcome here.
That's right. We do.
Well, we can't overcome right. it. We have to cast ourselves upon the Lord
mm-hmm.
and allow the Holy Spirit to overcome in us what we cannot overcome within ourselves.
That's right. That's right. Well, let's break away just for a little bit. We're going to get into our pen from the heart.
The Lord says in Isaiah 55:11, "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it."
God is active in the hearts and lives of our listening family. Thank you, family, for sharing your thoughts with us. Also, thank you for praying, for listening, and giving to 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio.
Here are today's comments from Missionary Radio's Penned from the Heart.
From Hanson, as I've told you a few times, and like so many others, Missionary Radio changes my life. You'll never know the impact it has had and how very grateful I am for all the Lord has done through me, through you. May the Lord continue to use and bless this wonderful ministry. You all are such a gift. From Providence, thank you for consistently airing quality programming and music. We appreciate each of you very much. And from Clarksville, I pray that our Father will continue to bless the radio station and each of you.
Thank you for sharing what the Lord is doing through the ministry of 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio in your life.
We'd love to hear from you. Please call our testimony and penned from the heart line at 270-962-4055.
Write to us at P.O. Box 1029, Hopkinsville, Kentucky, 42241.
And online at missionary.radio.
To exalt King Jesus, Missionary Radio.
Missionary Radio front porch, and of course, it's going to be a pretty nice day. It's going to be 66 and breezy.
Nice.
So it's not going to be bad, but now tonight, some showers and possibly some thunderstorms. And people,
some wind.
Some wind, you know, so.
Early spring, that's what happens in the spring of the year in Kentucky.
In Kentucky.
Yeah. It's been doing that for generations.
Generations after generations.
Time of year.
Yeah.
Just that time of year.
For storms.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Time of year.
Yeah, of course.
Starting to become.
And I've watched some of the weather guys talking that could be worse this March than some for past Marches, you know, as far as tornadoes, you know, are concerned, you know, because I guess they study the atmosphere and, you know, the oceans and the moisture and all that stuff, you know, so who knows?
Well, it's amazing how they get things right a lot. I mean, you know, they don't miss it much.
It's pretty amazing.
In this weather. They don't miss
very,
it much.
Very, very amazing.
There's a fellow in eastern Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
His name is Ryan Hall.
Yes, I've heard that name.
And he does weather, Ryan Hall, y'all.
Okay.
And he's very, very accurate.
Yeah.
He's funny.
Mm-hmm.
He talks about being in the weather house.
Oh, yeah.
And he uses a lot of advanced tools.
Yes.
To predict what's going to happen.
Yes.
And he becomes more sophisticated. The longer I listen to him, the more I see how he is growing as a meteorologist.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it is something that can be studied.
Sure, sure.
But can't be controlled.
Can't be controlled.
Mm.
God's in control of everything.
Mm. Everything.
Let's go back to Romans 3 for a minute.
Okay.
Look at the context.
Okay.
To have a sound understanding of the word, we need to look at the context. So we need to ask a couple of questions. To whom was Paul writing? What were the circumstances?
Mm-hmm.
Paul was in the middle of the battle between the Judaizers and the new Christian church.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm.
The Judaizers were the Jews who were trying to bring people back into Judaism mm-hmm. and telling them they had to be Jews before they could follow Christ.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Now, so that's who he's talking to. So he starts in verse 1, then what advantage has the Jew?
Okay.
The Jews insisted they had the advantage because they were the original people in a relationship with God.
Yes.
And while that's true, mm-hmm. Christ changed all that.
That's true.
So when he describes there's none righteous, that really slapped that group in the face who believed that righteousness was a result of my living up to the law, the Mosaic law.
Mm-hmm.
If I don't live up to the law, I'm not righteous. If I live up to the law, I'm righteous regardless of what anybody else says.
Mm-hmm.
But Paul's saying that's not the truth. The truth is all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God.
Yes.
To see that, I need to look at verses 19 and following. Now, we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, that is to the Jew, so that every mouth may be closed and all the world may become accountable to God.
Okay.
All the world, that means every human being.
Everybody.
Because by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, that is, in the sight of God.
Mm-hmm.
For through the law comes the knowledge of sin. What the law does is reveal what sin is. It exposes mm-hmm. me
exposes sin.
For my sinful nature.
Mm-hmm.
But now apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets,
mm-hmm.
even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believe, for there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm. So my justification with God mm-hmm. comes only through Christ.
Mm-hmm.
That's the claim.
Mm-hmm.
The only road to heaven, the only road to God is through the person of Jesus Christ,
yes.
whose redemption on Calvary purchased mm-hmm. our release from the power of sin
mm-hmm.
and adopts us, if you will, into the household of faith.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not because we did it, it's because God did it.
That's right.
That's the key. My salvation rests entirely upon an act of God, generated by God for his own purposes and under his absolute sovereign control.
Amen. Amen.
Thank God for Romans. Thank God for us Gentile folks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We get a chance.
Now, I was thinking now, when the Jews didn't, correct me if I'm wrong, when the Jewish people kind of turned from God, that's when God or Jesus turned to the Gentiles, correct?
Well, it was the rejection of the Jews.
Okay.
In Paul's ministry that where God sent Paul to the Gentiles.
Okay.
If you remember Paul's call on the Damascus Road, he will be, if you will, my representative to the Gentiles.
Yes.
That infuriated the Jews.
Oh, yeah.
Now, let's define Gentiles, anybody that's not a Jew.
Yes.
Okay?
Anybody that's not a Jew.
So if you weren't a Jew, you didn't count to the Jews.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So there was a level of prejudice in that community
mm-hmm.
that was unbelievable. Now, it was possible for a Gentile to proselyte, to convert to Judaism.
Sure, sure.
But he had to live by the law.
Mm-hmm.
And what Christ came preaching was a different way,
mm-hmm.
not living by the law by my own strength,
mm-hmm.
but learning to recognize that I was a sinner and there was nothing I could do about the sin that's in my life and heart. It's just a part of who I am.
Yes.
And that Christ has made provision for that sin through his selfless sacrifice on Calvary
mm-hmm.
so as to purchase our redemption with his own blood.
Mm-hmm.
If I understand that, then I recognize that only through Christ can I be saved. That's why Christianity has been hated by many over the centuries because of its claim of absolute exclusivity.
Yes.
If you don't come through the Christ of Scripture, you can't come to God.
Because we're in a society now that you hear a lot of people say that there's many gods.
And many ways to God.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm sitting here, there's not many gods. Mm-hmm. There's only one God.
Right.
You know, and you're seeing a lot. You're seeing a lot of that, of course, into you know, our like actors and stuff like that in California that do all this stuff. You know, they turn to different ways. You know, and different things. And you know, but so wrong. I mean, you know, there's only one God, and there's not many gods. Of course, we can make anything a god.
Well, yeah.
I mean, Mike, we could make anything a god. You know, your automobile, your home, your job, whatever you want to put before God, you can put anything before Him.
Well, you know,
and
we have ministry in Bangladesh.
Yeah.
And, of course, that's a Muslim country and Hindu mm-hmm. country and 1% Christian or less. And I go by those Hindu statues sometimes.
Yeah.
And I ask them, I said, does that thing ever talk to you? I can't get an answer.
Yeah.
Does it ever talk to you?
Yeah, does it ever talk to you?
When did it talk to you?
Yeah.
And sometimes I'll ask the Muslims, you know, when did Allah talk to you?
Mm.
Did Allah ever talk to you?
Mm.
You know, we have a God that talks to us.
Absolutely.
And that is our friend.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, that sticketh closer than a brother.
Absolutely.
And I thank God for this ability to be redeemed as non-Jewish mm-hmm. people.
That's right. That's right. All right. Well, let's break away again, and we got to get into Johnny Erickson Tada, Sharing Hope, here on Missionary Radio.
This is Shauna on Johnny Erickson Tada, Sharing Hope. You know, Ken and Johnny have been reading through the Bible together every year for years now. Well, listen to what Johnny has to say about it.
In all these many times of reading through Scripture, I am amazed at how much the Bible talks about idols. Now, for most of us, when we hear that word, we think of the Old Testament. We think of wooden or metal objects on a shelf that people worship. And because we entertain that idea, we often skim over those warnings in God's Word against worshiping idols. But believe me, idols are just as current and contemporary as your favorite football team, your favorite hobby, or your favorite television show. I know. Believe me, I struggle with it. I mean, when I am in pain, I can either take it to God or over-medicate it. When I'm bored, I can either expect the Lord to surprise me or entertain myself with a little online shopping. When I'm speaking, I can either bask in the spotlight or give the glory to God. When I'm in a discussion, I can either hog the conversation or defer to others in the room. When I'm depressed, I can either run to the Lord or run to the refrigerator. When I can't sleep at night, I can either quiet my mind with Scripture or I can run mental movies of past successes. When I'm working, I can either ask Jesus for His guidance or become frantic about deadlines. And when I'm relaxing, I can either think and read about God or I can veg out in front of the TV. And this is just the short list. You see, all of us by nature are worshipers. We all worship something. We're just made to do it. But the question is, do we worship God or do we worship the idols of our preference? We're either doing one or the other, which, getting back to my original point, is why we would do well to heed what the Bible says about idols, because God hates them with a perfect hatred. He will not tolerate them in our lives. He will do everything from His end to remove them from our grasp. God despises the idols we make because He knows that for us, these are objects of worship. Now, in our weakest moments, we do prefer them over the Lord, don't we? I mean, we choose them over God. We run to them for comfort and encouragement. But the truth is, as Christopher Wright once said, the worst thing about idols is, as the Hebrew Scriptures so tirelessly point out, is that they are utterly useless when you need them most. Isn't that the truth? The refrigerator, the television, the sports stadium, the medicine cabinet, the movie theater, the latest novels and magazines. Well, they just don't satisfy. They do not provide the comfort or the encouragement that we often expect out of them. True comfort and life-giving encouragement can only be found when we worship the Lord, when we choose Jesus, when we prefer Him over all other things. Jonah chapter 2, verse 9 is one of the most powerful scriptures that addresses idolatry. And it says, "Those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. Friend, when you cling to idols, you know, the little habits, the entertainments that you prefer and so on, when you cling to them, the Bible says you forfeit grace from God. You lose it. You give it up. You surrender it. You part with the grace that could be yours. So today, friend, do not sacrifice the grace, that is, the help and the goodwill and favor from God that could be yours. Close the refrigerator. Turn off the TV. Put down the novel. Walk away from ESPN and begin trusting the Lord.
For this episode of Ministry Spotlight, I spoke to Mary Bell, a faithful and longtime listener of Missionary Radio. She tells her story of donating a kidney and how it has led to helping others and sharing the gospel as well. All right here on Missionary Radio. Good morning and welcome to Ministry Spotlight on Missionary Radio. My name is Andrew Cummins. Hope everyone's having a blessed Wednesday morning. We are praising Christ all day long, 24/7, right here on Listener Supported and Funded.
Sharing hope in Christ, 24/7, Missionary Radio.
Missionary Radio, and this, of course, is the front porch in Romans chapter 3.
Yes.
Make sure I was right on that.
Yeah, we were just
sometimes
talking.
Sometimes I forget.
were just talking about there's only one God and the exclusivity.
Yes.
Of Christianity.
Yes.
That takes me back to Isaiah 43, verses 10 and 11 says, "You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, so that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, and there will be none after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and there is no salvation besides me."
So there's not going to be any gods before him, and there's not going to be any gods after him.
Right. And he is eternal in nature, pre-existent, doesn't have a beginning. He has been before beginning.
Yes.
That's why he says, "I am that I am."
Mm-hmm.
There's never a past tense to I am.
Yes.
There's never a future tense to I am. Mm-hmm. It's always a present tense. One of the trouble we get into is when we reduce our thinking about who God is and make him smaller than he really is.
Put him in our box.
Yeah. We try to make him anthropomorphic.
That's try to a big make word.
Now,
like,
that's a big word,
that's
Tim.
That's a big word. Tim's got those big words.
He got one.
we try to make him fit man's description of what a being is.
True.
And we measure that by man.
Yeah.
Man's not an adequate description. Can't even get close. Right? So God is eternal from time past to time future and lives outside of eternity.
Yeah.
All of time. See, this is the concept. God is so big he can't fit in time.
Okay. I agree with that.
But was made after his image.
We were, but that doesn't make us all this high.
No.
We're still so far beneath him. The distance between humanity and God is impossible to grasp.
Mm-hmm.
We won't realize that until we get to heaven and get to see him.
Mm-hmm.
For then we will know as we are known, and we will see him as he really is, and we'll be overwhelmed.
Mm-hmm. I just,
wow.
You know, I think about, you know, when we get to be in his presence.
Mm.
You know, it's kind of like the song "I Can Only Imagine."
Oh, I love that song.
You know, what's it really going to be like when we get there?
We don't have a clue.
We don't have a clue what it's going to be like when we get there. You know, I hear people say, "I can't wait to get to heaven. I want to ask him this and I want to ask him that." And my response to that is, I don't think you're going to worry about that.
Yeah. When you see him, all those questions will be gone.
They're going to be
gone.
Oh,
yeah.
You know, just to view him in all his beauty. It's going to be something.
It's beyond our imagination.
You know, it's beyond our imagination. You know, and I just, I don't know about you. I don't know about you, but I mean, I get excited to know that one day that I'm going to be in his presence.
What a day that'll be.
What a day that's going to be.
One more point before I forget it.
Okay, go ahead.
we were talking about the context. Who was Paul talking to?
Mm-hmm.
From the Jewish perspective, my relationship with God was utterly dependent upon me living up to the law.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
What Christ teaches and what Paul teaches is that that's an utterly incorrect view.
Mm-hmm.
My relationship with God depends not in any case upon me.
No.
But depends utterly upon the grace of God.
Yes.
He has to redeem me. Then he has to keep me.
Yes.
He has to change me.
Yes.
That's the evidence, by the way, that I'm a new creature in Christ.
Yes.
Right? It's not because I put on a new creature. It's because he puts on me a new being.
That's right.
That I'm altogether something new. Right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Behold, all things become new. Isn't that
that's
what it
right.
says?
That's what it says. Yeah. All things become
all
new.
All things. Well, that means the very core of my being has to change.
Yes.
That's outside my scope.
Mm-hmm.
I
mm-hmm.
can't change my inner man.
Mm-mm.
No matter what I want to do, no matter mm-hmm. how hard I try,
mm-hmm.
only God by his grace can change my inner man.
Mm-hmm.
And if he truly changes my inner man, then it will become obvious on the outside.
On the outside.
And then I'll begin to bear fruit that's in keeping with repentance.
So that brings it out to the little song, this little light of mine, Let It Shine, Let It Shine.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to let it shine.
Good song.
You know, because when he makes a change on your heart, you're supposed to change on the outside too as well.
Right.
That way people can look upon you and say, man, look at Tim or look at Mike or look at Brian, and man, there's something different about them.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes people curious to say, what's going on with you?
Yeah. Every word of my mouth is formed first in my inner man.
Yeah.
It reveals, Jesus says, and I believe it's Matthew 15, that the words of my mouth reveal my heart.
Mm-hmm.
What I say reveals what's going on in my heart.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So if my mouth is full of cursing and anger and bitterness and rage, then it reveals that my heart is full of the same stuff.
Mm-hmm.
If my mouth is full of praises to God and glory to God, then there's something else being revealed that I am indeed a new creature.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You said earlier we were made to worship him.
Yes.
Well, actually, the purpose of man is to bring glory to God.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And to enjoy him forever. The old catechism says that I am to give glory, bring glory to God and to enjoy him forever.
Mm-hmm.
That
mm-hmm.
talks about a relationship.
Yes.
An intimate relationship.
That's right.
Where everything I do should bring honor and glory to the Lord.
Mm, everything.
Privately and publicly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm just going to be real transparent here for a minute.
Okay.
There's still some private things in my life that I wish weren't there.
Sure.
And that I'm still praying about getting rid of.
Sure. I think we all have that.
We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God.
All of us.
And we all continue to sin.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's our nature to sin.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It is. And you know, I think one of my weaknesses is sometimes getting a little angry.
Hmm.
You know,
I wouldn't know anything about that.
You would know nothing about that.
I'm lying.
Sounds familiar.
Yeah, I've got a wee bit of a temper.
Yeah, and you know, most people look at me and say, "I just can't see you have." I mean, I'm not as bad as I used to be.
Me neither.
Lord's changed me a whole lot. I've calmed down a whole lot. But every now and then I get a little aggravated on some things. But I always say, Lord, forgive me. You know,
that skillet over your head, straighten you up.
I know. That skillet, I mean, that thing hurts bad.
Well, it's an instrument of correction.
There you go, an instrument of correction. That's it.
And did I catch him right? He's saying his wife wields that instrument of correction well.
Well, I mean, you know. I don't have a flat spot on my head or nothing. Oh, but anyway, anything
true.
Else you want to add on what we've been talking about this
well,
morning?
The reality is that we all need to recognize that all have sinned, including me.
Yep.
And that I am absolutely incapable of changing that reality in my own life.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That's what brings me to get on my face before Holy God.
Yes.
It says, have mercy on me, Lord. Mm-hmm. The sinner.
Yes.
not a sinner, the sinner.
Mm-hmm.
I need to be delivered from myself.
Yes.
Yes.
And from the sin that resides in me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need to point to everybody else in their sin. I need to go look in the mirror.
That's right.
Lord, have mercy on me.
Mm-hmm.
And then the good news is that he has promised to do precisely that.
Mm-hmm.
Right? If I will bow unto him.
Yes.
Surrender my life to him.
Yes.
He'll make a new creature of me.
Make a new creature.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Now,
amen.
Today, now y'all having your Bible study today.
Yeah.
10:30 at the Agape House.
Okay.
501 Johnson Street, Russellville.
Okay. All right.
We are finishing up, or we're still in Genesis. We'll be working on the latter half, or maybe the latter two-thirds of chapter 10,
okay,
which is the Table of Nations.
Okay.
And then as soon as we get through chapter 11, our next study will begin in Revelation 1.
Okay. Now, is anybody welcome to that?
Anybody.
Anybody's welcome to
welcome
that.
Welcome to come
be
to that.
Glad to have you. And come out. I know a lot of people listen in our area.
Sure, sure.
They're in Logan County.
And, mm-hmm.
And anybody wants to come, just come. 501 Johnson Street, Russellville, Kentucky. And I want to thank God for all of you all that sponsor and help Missionary Radio.
Absolutely.
I want to put a thank you for giving to Missionary Radio.
Absolutely.
That keeps us on the air.
Absolutely.
And we're penetrating darkness, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We're pushing darkness back.
That's right. That's right. And, well, we appreciate y'all this morning so much. And, Mike, would you mind to close us out in prayer,
sure,
please, brother?
Lord, we just thank you that you care. It's one thing about you care, and you care that you wrote Romans. You allowed Romans to be written to give us Gentiles hope that it's through faith and through your grace that we're saved, not of works, lest any man should boast.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So thank you for your grace, and thank you for salvation. Thank you for Missionary Radio. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Mike and Tim, and have a blessed day. And thanks for listening to us on the front porch. And join us again tomorrow morning at 7 a.m.